back to the Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. And the Mets, well, it was a surprising comeback win for the Mets today in Arizona. They win 5-3. Happy feelings. We don't get it very often around these Mets to talk about it and answer Mets questions. We bring in Anthony DiComo from MLB.com. Anthony, how are you?
I'm good. They're all surprising wins at this time, aren't they?
They are, but it's just that sort of snarky comment that that gets you tuba insults. So,
apparently so.
I don't know if everybody, before we get into the Mets, I don't know if everybody, if you don't follow social media as closely, you may have missed this, but it was odd. Is help people understand, because I the Mets were losing, and I was tired a few nights ago. I go to sleep, I wake up the next morning, and it looked like former Met Paul LaDuca was insulting you on Twitter.
He was, and I don't know Paul LaDuca very well. I covered him very briefly, very early in my career. I'm certain he does not remember that. So he knows me only as the Mets beat writer and on Twitter and all of that. And I guess he took offense to a little snarkiness with the Mets offense struggling, which frankly, if you just kind of type out the facts of what has happened, it probably comes across as snarky. So, I guess he took a little bit of offense to that and said I should be more positive, and that apparently, because I didn't play the game professionally or anything like that, I must have played the tuba in high school, which, let the record state, I actually played the drums in marching band, not the tuba. So he was wrong about that.
So you were a band guy. We can break
I was. I'll admit that much.
All right, we're breaking that story here on The Fan tonight. DiComo was a band guy, not a tuba player, and apparently that is, with apologies to tuba players everywhere, apparently that is Paul LaDuca's version of an insult, that if you're not an athlete, you must be a tuba player. All right, so to the Mets, though, and the actual games on the field, this is a little bit of a, we're going to get to the happy feel-good stuff. Let's start there before we get to some of the negativity. So on the feel-good stuff for a second, Brandon Nimmo, the smiling, or as Gary Cohen calls him, the happiest man in baseball, what have you seen in the evolution of Nimmo's game from the, call it spring training to where we are now?
Well, he's a more aggressive hitter than I've ever seen. And that actually started in spring training. I remember talking to him one day in March. He had hit a first pitch homer in one of his at bats. I remember talking to him being like, what has changed in your approach? And he said, well, coming up, I've always had a good judge of the strike zone. I've always known balls from strikes. I've always been able to take my walks and things like that. But now I'm not afraid to kind of go after pitches early in the count if they're strikes. I'm not afraid to, put my best swing, my ace swing on balls when they're the pitches that I need to be hitting. And he's doing that now. He is not missing. He gets the pitch that he's looking for, and he's hitting it. He's got a lot of power, 10 home runs now. And this is kind of the player that the Mets thought he could be. And that's the evolution from the guy who's like maybe a nice bench piece to a guy who can be an everyday player, maybe even a middle-of-the-order hitter, which is what he has been relatively recently for the Mets. So he's not just a guy who takes his walks anymore. He can still do that, definitely. But if you make a mistake, he's going to hit it now. He's probably going to hit it for extra bases, and that makes him dangerous. He was a good plate discipline guy before. Now he's a dangerous hitter.
So is it possible that some of that, because he is such a, call it a people pleaser, a guy who wanted to do, what was hoped for by the organization, that the organizational philosophy of getting on base and taking those walks, was that perhaps earlier in his career when he was less confident? Was that almost working to his detriment as a hitter?
I think it can freeze you a little bit for sure. And look, I know it's easy to kind of pile on and talk about the Mets approach, because this is something they preach from the day you're drafted, from the day you're signed. They want you to take pitches. They want you to work counts. And I do think there's an element of players saying, well, I don't want to swing at a bad pitch because I'm going to get in trouble for that and things of that nature. And overall, this philosophy that they preach, I mean, it's the right philosophy. It's the one that works. It's the one that every good hitter in baseball pretty much practices. But if you're learning that and you're afraid to kind of do the wrong thing, yeah, I think you can easily fall into the trap of I'm going to be a little more passive and not quite as aggressive because I'd rather get called out on strikes than swinging a pitch in the dirt and strike out swinging. So I think maybe early in his career, yeah, there's a little bit of that to Brandon Nimmo's game, but it's gone now. It's gone, and I don't think it's coming back because, like I said, he's dangerous now. You make a mistake, he's going to hit it.
We're talking to Mr. Positive, Anthony DeComo from MLB.com. You know what? I can go negative sometimes, too, but coming off a win. The other, if Nimmo is one of the positives, obviously, one of the few so far this season for the Mets, another one has been Robert Gsellman out of the bullpen and watching him transform. So Gsellman, you know, we saw Gsellman now closing some games. Jerry's Familia back from the disabled list. How do you think the Mets will be using these two pitchers moving forward?
Eighth and ninth inning, back in. I mean, those are your guys. And what's interesting is Robert Gsellman is always kind of lumped in with Seth Lugo because those are two guys who have both started mm-hmm. in the past. Obviously, Lugo is starting now and Gesellman's still in the bullpen, but when you ask them about it, very different answer. Seth Lugo says, I'm a starting pitcher. I've always kind of felt I'm a starting pitcher. And look, I'll go in the bullpen if you need me to, but I'm happiest when I'm starting games. And he's been pretty good at that. Robert Gsellman says, I kind of like being in the bullpen. I kind of like coming in there and giving it all I've got for one inning. So you don't often hear that from a guy who's been a starter his whole career and who frankly had some success early in his career at the big league level as a starter. But he's been pretty dynamite out of the bullpen. He's still got that power sinker. He can still strike guys out. Obviously generates a ton of ground balls. You saw him coming in the bullpen cart this weekend mm-hmm. in Arizona, which was which was always a little fun. But he's a weapon down there. And especially with A.J. Ramos out, maybe out for the season if he winds up having shoulder surgery, Lugo in the bullpen, Lugo in the rotation kind of weakens the bullpen. You need more guys down there. You got Anthony Swarzak back from the disabled list, but Robert Gsellman is another one of those guys who you put him in the seventh, eighth inning. He closed out the game tonight in the ninth. You need three or four of those guys down there, and he's proven that he can be one of them.
Now, if you're the Mets and you approach the trade deadline, and let's say things don't improve radically, and the Mets end up being in a selling situation, are they better off over these next weeks having Jerry's Familia as a closer to showcase him before a potential trade, or with the evolution of the way teams use a bullpen these days, does it not matter if Familia is successful in an eighth inning or a ninth inning?
I think it matters. I think as much as we all like to tell ourselves that saves are kind of an arbitrary stat, and they are, that they don't really matter. Teams still look at it. Players still look at it, certainly. And there is something different about pitching the ninth inning. So if he can rack a bunch up, yeah, I think his trade value will be better. Now, would it be better than it was if he all of a sudden turned into Andrew Miller and could go three innings at a time and be dominant? No. I think that's more valuable. But Familia is not necessarily that guy. He can give you a four-out save every now and then, maybe even a five-out save. But really, he's a one-inning pitcher. So how is that best deployed? If you're looking to heighten a guy's trade value, that's in the ninth inning, regardless of what part of the batting order is up. If he can rack up saves, and more important than that, show that he is healthy, show that the shoulder that had him on the disabled list for most of last month is healthy, that's kind of what will make him a valuable chip at the deadline.
All right, so now we've talked some of the relative positives, but questions that I'm sure you get all the time, and I know I get all over Twitter. The Mets brought in a new medical and training team this season. They hired a new manager. They find themselves yet in a similar situation to last season. It's the sad place where it seems like they have no chance to contend. And even thinking about meaningful games in September doesn't seem so likely with the way they've played lately. So, you know, before we even can talk about fixing the problems of the team, why do you think this has happened, and what are the root causes in your mind?
Well, there's a couple of things. I think one is you've got a roster that, frankly, has a lot of players who are injury-prone. And I think, you know, something that everyone should remember and that people often forget is that there is no better predictor of injury than past injury. So guys who have had things in the past, especially arm issues in the past, like Steven Matz has actually been pretty healthy this year, Zach Wheeler has actually been pretty healthy. Guys like that, they're just more prone to get injured in the future. Yoán Cespedes is a perfect example of that. A guy who's had leg injuries throughout his career. Should we be surprised that he's having leg issues again now? No, I don't think so.
Or Travis d'Arnaud. You can't say you're shocked. Juan Lagares, you can't say you're shocked when these players get
Absolutely not. So, you know, you take all of that with a grain of salt, just knowing that this is a roster that's composed of a lot of those guys. Now, what the Mets did this winter in terms of kind of overhauling their training staff, hiring Jim Cavallini, who is the overseer of all of that, firing Ray Ramirez, promoting Brian Ciccolo, who's the head trainer now. They were the moves that the Mets kind of had to make, and they made a lot of sense on paper, but they can only do so much. And I'm not sure if there's anything that crew could have done to prevent what's happened this year. I think all you can kind of ask as a fan, and certainly as someone around the team, is that there's a good faith that we're doing everything we can to kind of prevent these things, that the communication is there between the players and the field staff and the front office and the medical staff and the training staff, that all of those parts are working in tandem. Right. And from everything I understand, it is, but it's certainly frustrating when you don't get the results.
So one last one I want to make sure I get to before I let you go. Dominic Smith with the showboating between the legs flip thing, that what was the reaction in the clubhouse to that? And is there a chance that a message will be sent and he won't play tomorrow?
Mickey Callaway said with a completely straight face, I don't think Dominic Smith is ever going to be transferring the ball between his legs again. So will there be a message sent? I don't think you need to bench him or anything like that. Certainly the Mets did that with Dom Smith when he showed up late in spring training.
Yep.
So they felt there was a message needed to be sent there. But I think as a young player, just turned 23 the other day, you know, as a manager, you take him aside and you say, look, you don't do that. I don't want to see that ever again. A stern warning, and we'll go from there. Because, you know, frankly, this is still a player that the Mets need.
Well, you're much nicer than I am.
Paulo Duca begs to differ.
I guess YouTube players are very nice. Anthony DeComo, safe travels to Denver, one of my favorite cities. And enjoy the thin air.